All right, well, it's an incredible schos, Baruch Hashem, to be back and to be able to learn with everyone. Again, get back a little bit into Tzad Zeres. We had it 2 weeks ago as well, but we'll restart again to see who are our sponsors for tonight.
Jacob Bornstein, in honor and success of Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
Victory over our enemies. Refor Shalema to all those who need a speedy recovery.
Amen.
To the coming of Mashiach and the building of the Bayis Shlishi and the Nushul.
Amen.
I added the Nushul.
And the Nushul, absolutely.
Shmuel Karopkin to commemorate the upcoming Yahrzeit Day of his father, Liba Ben Yechezko Cohen, Leonard Karopkin, which is this Tuesday. And I sponsored. Shalom Hashem Aliyah. And I sponsored as well, just for Karsat over the Hashem, for a continued bracha.
Beautiful. All right, to both say tremendous shkach to Reb Steve again, our Sarah Mashkim, who always makes sure that everything is done, who always makes sure that there are sponsorships. See Reb Steve, you know, it's not too early yet to sponsor next week's shir or the week after. We can line them up. Emir Tz Hashem, Reb Steve is here. He'll stick around a little bit after this year. Feel free, Emir Tz Hashem. But just cover, you should just know, like, Steve, we have a weekly ritual. So it used to be Wednesdays. Now it's moved to Tuesdays.
Because people start messing with me Tuesday nights.
Is there sure? Just know, like, you know, everything that happens in this world is because people are working on it for some good amount of time. So Steve starts working on it. I only start working on the shir, preparing the shir Thursday morning. And Steve is already preparing the shir, Baruch Hashem, on Tuesday. So really tremendous.
He's running late.
Okay, so shkoyach to Reb Tzvi Friedman for going ahead and preparing the beautiful and delicious spread for tonight.
And Reb Yisrael,
thank you again for preparation, for presentation. Mamish, beautiful and perfect. Incredible. Yeah, it really does. It really takes a village. And we'll say again, Ishkach to all of our sponsors. And of course, again, we always dedicate our learning in the schus of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. In the schus, Emir Tashem, of the speedy return of each of our hostages. Emir Tashem, they should come back intact physically and emotionally for the success of our soldiers. And Emir Tashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu, should shower upon them Shemira Yisera, extra added divine providence and protection. And for all of those who we lost this week, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give their neshamas a tremendous aliyah, should provide their families with a nechama, and halavai, Klal Yisrael should be handed a decisive victory over all evil. And that victory, and only with that victory, Emir Hashem, we should be zocha to an ongoing and lasting shalom. Say, with that, let us begin. So again, anyone who doesn't have a sefer, there are plenty. I made copies also. Pass down a little bit. There's plenty. There's plenty. And also, if anybody, all the sfarim. So good. Okay, whatever. Good. All right, so Chavra, so I also wanna encourage something else, which is Baruch Hashem. Every week, especially this week, we have a number of new attendees at the shir. So for the veterans, you know, be friendly. You know, there's no hazing or anything like that, right? But on a serious note, if you see someone, you know, sometimes it's so interesting, like, we can sit across the table. Right, if you see someone, say something, right? If you see someone who you don't know, this is like the perfect opportunity just to, after the shir, say, Shalom Aleichem. You know, there's no ice to keep us busy this week. So, you know, so the ice machine is broken.
Oh, sponsorship.
How convenient.
It was sabotaged. I have no idea what happened. And I will say, but on a Chavra, on a serious note, you know, the real estate group from Katamonim, our satellite project in Eretz Yisrael, they were here, and like they couldn't get over the fact that, like, they're like, I don't understand, everybody in this shul likes each other. Like everybody likes each other, like everybody's smiling and so much hugging and this and that. Oh my God, I don't know if everybody likes each other, right? But Lamaisa the Rov, it's true. It helps. But let's say, so just like, we should realize, like, we come together like this. We come together really for two reasons. Number one is to learn. But if you remember back to our B'nai Machshava Tova days, the Piyajatna said there's a power to being part of a chabura, to being part of a chevra. So, but part of being part of that chevra is we have to know each other. So really, I would just encourage everyone that if there are people here you don't know, after the shir, just run over, say a shalom aleichem. And again, we spend, I don't know, for me, I know for me, this shir, this chabura, is one of the holiest times of my week. Outside of Shabbos, one of the holiest weekday times of my week. And it's this great zchus, Baruch Hashem, to spend it with all of you. And each of you contribute to that holiness that I personally experience here. So we all create it together. So because we all create it together, by definition, there's a relationship. And because there's a relationship, again, it's kedai for us to get to know each other. So again, if you see someone you don't know, make sure after the shir to introduce yourself, give a shalom aleichem. And I will say, with that, let's begin. So we are continuing Yemir Hashem today on page Shin Lamed. So I Zirak, there's two sides to the page. And let's begin. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam, Shakol Niyeh B'dvaro. Okay, so we'll say, so we are picking up in section Tes. So we'll say, this is an incredibly beautiful piece over here. Tonight we have some very, very special pieces by the Piyajetzna. So the Rebbe says as follows, he says, listen to this. Nefesh ha'adam oheves lihitragesh. I love this line. The nefesh, the neshama of a person, wants to be emotional. Lihitragesh means to be emotional. I just want to give a little bit of like a, I don't know what the right word is. Not like a trigger warning, but like a little bit. If you are a kalter litvak, right? And right? I'm not looking at anyone in particular, right? Right? But kalter litvak means like, it can manifest itself in a variety of different ways, right? It can manifest itself as you don't like to sing, right? So that already, strike one, right? There's something wrong, right? Don't like to sing. Or just like a person is afraid of emotion. There are people who, when they encounter like emotional circumstances or things that could be highly emotional, they pull back because they don't want to get pulled into emotion because they're afraid of feeling. Let's remember again, this goes back to Vnei Machshava Tova. Remember Vnei Machshava Tova, the Piyajetzna said that so often in life we prevent ourselves from feeling because I'm scared. If I allow myself to get emotional, I don't know what's going to come out, right? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I cry, laugh, both, and I don't know what I'm going to feel. I don't know what I'm going to think. So the Rebbe already taught us this, that so many times in life we wall off our emotions. We wall off, and we try to just become cerebral, analytical, intellectual people. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong. Well, obviously, you have to use your intellect, and you have to be cerebral at times, and you have to be dispassionate at times. But there are some people that make a habit of it. Right? You see this all the time. People hide behind cynicism. People hide behind sarcasm. Like, whenever you see a person who is highly sarcastic or cynical, you know what that is. You know what that is, right? What that is someone who is so afraid of experiencing emotion that they erect all of these barriers. So nothing could ever get too serious, right? Nothing could ever get too heavy. Because again, if it does, I don't want to feel that. The Piyajetzna says, understand when you do that, it's a disservice to the self. To the self, why? Because what the neshama wants more than anything is lihitragesh. It wants to feel emotion. It wants to be emotional. The neshama wants to be jarred. The neshama wants to experience heightened emotion. I will say, and here the Piyajetzna's lashon is so incredible. He doesn't write. He says, "Nefesh ha'adam oheves lihitragesh." Right? It loves to be emotional. It loves to feel emotion. He says, "Lo ala simcha levad." I will say, this is incredible, and it's not just simcha. It's not just that the neshama yearns to feel like a heightened sense of emotional joy. Rak gam stam lehitragesh ohevesi. See, I will say, this is really incredible. The neshama just wants to feel in a deep, an acute, and profound way. The neshama doesn't like vanilla. The neshama doesn't like pariv. The neshama doesn't just like flatline. The neshama wants deep, emotional, feeling experiences. And I will say, by the way, this goes with everyone saying, you know, sometimes there is nothing more inspiring than feeling pain. We don't like that because generally, again, we don't want to feel pain. But sometimes, again, about saying, you know, it's an interesting thing. Sometimes the inspiration that could come from pain is much greater than the inspiration that could come from joy. Now, again, halavai, we should just get our inspiration from joy. But it's interesting that if you allow yourself to feel the pain, and you allow yourself to feel the emotional experience, I'll say all kinds of things happen in the neshama. So you have to understand, what the Rebbe is saying is like this: the neshama is a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel Olam, and this is a tenet of Chassidus, the Ribono Shel Olam, so to speak, is highly emotional. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu experiences everything in a deep and profound way. So that neshama, which is a chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants that same depth of experience. It's so incredible. People say, no, is this incredible? This is a very unemotional response I'm receiving over here. From like, I'm saying, like this to me, like explained. I feel like it gives you an insight into yourself. You'll see in just a moment why. Like the neshama wants passion. The neshama wants passion, and that's what I will say. To be honest, like when you're in a state in life where you are very dispassionate about everything, we're very how do you generally right? Again, one of those days, nothing's wrong, everything's fine. Right, nothing really exciting or all that much out of the ordinary, right? Just a regular, so generally, again, a person feels like, eh. Why? Because, nothing's wrong, but then a neshama wants deep emotional experiences. Whatever it is, tsar, pain, suffering, simcha, it wants emotional intensity. Now listen, that's what he wants. He says, afli hisragish be'etziv o b'chiyarotzihi. The neshama also is okay with having intensity of sadness and crying. And I will say, this is incredible. The neshama wants intensity of emotion. Whether that's the emotion of happiness or whether that's the emotion of sadness, the neshama wants that intensity. Ohe va'ish, liros maros ayumos. I will say, by the way, this is also so incredible. You know, one of the things that I always wondered about is why fireworks. I know, this sounds a little strange. I never got the chop in fireworks, right? Like, in other words, it's interesting, right? But like, literally, it's there for 3 seconds. It has absolutely no lasting effect. Doesn't change anything. Doesn't do anything. Right? It doesn't do anything. So what is it, right? That you could go have these fireworks and people come out and they set up shop and this and that is an exciting Memorial Day, July 4th. What's the pshat? You know what the pshat? It's very simple. What people don't realize is that fireworks ultimately, again, appeals to the neshama. Because what do fireworks do for those couple of moments where like they're like, what's the word?
Flaring.
Right? Burst, right? Burst in the air. What's happening there? What happens in that moment? How do you feel?
Joy.
Right? Joy. You just feel excited. You feel excited. And Hashem's like, finally, you're excited about something. Right? Finally. I'm not excited about davening. I'm not excited about learning. I'm not excited about tzedakah. I'm not excited about Yish. So now the Hashem is like waiting all of this time. What are you going to get excited about? What are you going to get excited about? And I will say, so what happens in that moment then, where like the lights explode and they burst and they flare. And I will say, and there's like, wow. Granted, it's 3 seconds, right? It's 3 seconds. Right afterwards, like, you're done with it. Let's move on to something else. But for those 3 seconds, then a neshama was jarred out of sleep mode, and is now excited. And what the Rebbe said, what the neshama wants more than anything is excitement. Now, obviously, you're going to see why this is very important. He says, therefore, Owe va'ish liros maros ayumos. A person loves to see wondrous things. Right? Just like a person just wants to see things that are out of the ordinary, things that are exciting. For the shmoa, ma'asios noros. And a person loves to hear exciting stories. Right? Why? Because what happens when you see something out of the ordinary? You get excited. When you get excited, then Hashem is like, we're excited, we're passionate about something. You hear an exciting story, then Hashem says, we're excited, passionate about something. Ad, kedei lifkos, kedei lehisragesh al yadan. Sometimes, again, the emotion is so profound that it moves you to tears. Now, listen, I watch this. He says, chok v'tzorech hanefeshi, kishar chukoseh v'tzarchoseh. The need for excitement, or the need for emotion, deep emotion, is a fundamental need and a fundamental component of the neshama just like any other component of the neshama. We'll say this, one of the, we're going to talk about this a little bit over the coming sections about kind of like the different parts of the neshama, the components of the neshama. So the Piagetzna says over here, the need to experience things on a deep emotional level, to get excited about something, to feel something, the neshama needs that. The neshama needs it. We'll say, what should he say? Lachin, get ready for this. He says, Rak ha'ish ha'mashlim chuka zos ba'avoda, ubehisrak shos ha'torah ba'atfila, shomer nafsho. I will say, what the Piagetzna is going to say over here is something very interesting. I will say, this, by the way, this is going to open the door to so much of life. The neshama needs excitement. Needs excitement. So Rabbi said, the neshama is going to push for excitement one way or the other. And what's my choice? What's my choice? My choice is it excitement of Kiddusha or is it excitement of Tumah? Right? Well, so you think about this for just a moment, right? Think about this just a moment, right? A person commits an Avera. You know, we always got this idea, whatever the Avera is, I do something I'm not supposed to, I look at something I'm not supposed to. And we'll say, we know how this works. We all know how this works, which is that you take a piece of paper, you write your favorite Avera on the top. Don't tell me what it is, right? You write your favorite Avera on top, right? You divide it into two columns, pros and cons. Which one always wins? Which column always wins?
Wins by having the most entries?
Wins. Don't know Rashi over here. Which one wins? Yeah, yes or no? Yes or no? Pros or cons?
The pros.
Pros, why?
Because you want it.
Because you want it. So the truth is, people always think the pros wins because the pros is what you feel more emotional about. So it's not about the number of entries. It's that the pros is like screaming at me, come on, this is going to be fantastic. But it's gratification. But I will say, but if you think about it, take a step back, the cons on paper, in other words, if you paper this, the cons always win. For the simple moment that all sin is going to get you is some instant gratification, right? And even if it's not, immediately fleeting, it is immediately fleeting, it's not going to last forever. On the flip side, the cons, sin leaves a residue that can last forever. So when you put those two things together, right? It's interesting. On paper, the cons always win. So the shaila is, if the cons always win, so why do we still sin? If the cons always win, then why do we sin? I'm sorry, because we don't make the list. So that's number one, right? So right, short, instant gratification, all these things, flex my muscle, self-autonomy. The Piagetzna says, very simple. Do you know why I both say it's incredible? Do you know why we sin? Because I want excitement. Because I want hisragshus. I want excitement. And I will say, to be honest, sin generates a lot more excitement a lot faster than Kiddusha does. The difference is the excitement of Kiddusha is good, is pure, and is lasting. The excitement of sin is fleeting, deficient, and ultimately, again, leaves me feeling terrible afterwards. And I will say, but that's the psychology of sin. At the end of the day, I want a high. I want to feel excited. I want to feel excited. Now, again, it's not the only reason for sin. Right? There's a lot of psychology associated with sin. But what the Piagetzna says, I want excitement. My neshama wants excitement. Also, you have to understand something. The greatest, the entity that is the most excited in this entire universe is the Ribono Shel Olam. Why? Because he's always doing, right? Imagine for a moment you're God for just a second, right? So remember, think about this. If you're a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so remember, you're running a universe, you're running a world, you've got all this other stuff going on. It's constant activity. You have to haya, hove, oi, past, present, free, past, present, future, everything converging, coalescing together, all of these different things, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this constant excitement. The neshama wants the excitement. Chet is so alluring. Why? Because it gives you excitement. I will say, sin is exciting. Don't look at me blankly. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Sin is incredibly exciting, right? When you commit the avera, I will say, let's be honest, right? In that moment, before guilt sets in, you're like, this is incredible. It's a rush. I feel awake. I've been dragging the whole day. Suddenly, I look at something I'm not supposed to. I do something. Right? I'm awake. I'm ready, right? I can take on the world, right? Everything, right? It's incredible. What's the shot? 3 seconds ago, I was schlepping. Sin is exciting. When guilt kicks in, that's something different. But in the moment, b'shas ma'isa, it's incredibly exciting. So the Piaget says, here's the danger, Moshe. The neshama is going to get its excitement one way or another. One way or another. You make the choice how to feed it. You make the choice how to feed that excitement. Now, we'll say, now there are some people who are just live unexcited lives and don't find that excitement. That's a different discussion. The Piaget says, just stam, regular person, is going to find that excitement one way or the other. You have to decide how you want to feed that need for excitement. Feed that need for excitement. We'll say, isn't that incredible? So therefore, the Piaget says, he said, we'll say, and by the way, when you begin to think about it like this, you understand what the Piaget is ultimately saying? Do you know where the... This is going to sound crazy, but just hear it out. Do you know where the desire for sin comes from? The desire for sin comes from? The neshama. Everything comes from the neshama. I think I mentioned this once. You know, Rabbi Nachman writes this idea that everything that a person feels all comes from the neshama. But often the guf distills the messages in different ways. So I once heard someone give a very beautiful mashal. They both say, you know, people window shop. What is the kunz in window shopping? Right? Like, in other words,
Yetzer shopping.
Right? And I was like, again, people do it. I'm not buying anything. I'm just looking. What's the shop? Let's say, because deep down, the neshama has an incredible desire to acquire ruchnius. So the neshama dispatches this message to the body, right? Saying, acquire. Sometimes the body distorts the message, and the body turns that into a message of acquiring the material, right? A person goes away and they're homesick. I would say, you know, it's interesting. We can go on vacation. You know, there's like that tipping point in vacation where you're like, all right, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready. If it's a family vacation, have as much earlier, right? Right. I think I'm about ready to go back to work now. Yeah, this was good. wait, my friend. Just wait. I'm about ready to go home now. So Lamaisa, again, where does that come from? Because deep down, the neshama also yearns to go back to Shamayim. So the neshama dispatches a message to the guf saying, I want to go home. The guf internalizes or expresses that message in a physical way. I want to go. Shabbos says, so this is an incredible thing. So what comes out according to the Piagetsna is the desire for the excitement of sin, it's interesting, doesn't come from the Yitzhahara. It actually is a distorted message from the Neshama. The Neshama says, I need Yitzhakshus. I need passion. I need excitement. I need something to shake us out of the slumber over here. Come on. Life is too short. We have to live an exciting, impassioned life. Let's go. And the body gets that. The body gets that message. And if the body totally hijacks that message, the body says, oh, you want excitement? I'll give you excitement. I'll give it to you fast. Here it is. Here is the excitement. And then you get that excitement. And mamish, that's like zakat and gadol yiyah. That's wow. So the maisa now, then he hijacks the message and everything. So mostly the Piagetsna says, you got to feed the neshama. You got to feed the sense of excitement, but you have to feed it with the right things. Isn't this incredible? I have to get excited about Yiddishkeit. I need to get excited about the stuff that I'm doing. Why? Because if I don't feed my neshama with the right excitement, it's going to find excitement in all the wrong places. Right? Looking for excitement in all the wrong places. Right? I think it was a famous song.
It's Buckley.
Right. So good. He goes back there. So the Piagetsna goes back there. He says, listen to this. Lachim, ha'ish ha'mashlim chukah zos ba'avoda, u'bisrak shesor v'atfila, shomer nafsho. Therefore, a person who looks for that sense of excitement in his davening, in his learning, right? Great, shomer nafsho. Great, fantastic. You'll find your excitement. Mashe'en kein, misha avodas katsho below israk shesi. I will say, if my Yiddishkeit is without passion, and I will say, we know this, a person could be a very observant and meticulous behavioral Jew and have a totally passionless Yiddishkeit. I could dive in with a minyan 3 times a day, learn Amud Yomi, Yerushalmi Yomi, Mishnah Yomi, Nach Yomi, Mishnah Berurah Yomi, every Yomi that I fill up one day, right? Everything. I give tzedakah and I do this. If there's no Yisrakshos, if there's no feeling, all of that avoda is not going to satisfy your excitement. So you could be doing everything, and yet, both say, what's going to... I'm telling you what's going to happen. If you are a Yid who's living Yiddishkeit without excitement, you're going to, the neshama is going to push you for that excitement. You're going to get it in all the wrong places. In all the wrong places. He says, if you don't find your passion and excitement in your Yiddishkeit, your neshama is going to push you to find it somewhere else. And it is going to be in the realm of sin. I will say, now by the way, it doesn't necessarily have to be sinful. Like, for example, there are plenty of people who find their passion in money, who find their passion in sports. We'll say, right, if you think about this in just a moment, right, I'm not going to get into a football thing right now. But if I were, let's say, no one ever took, like, a step back and said, like, it's so weird how people get all worked up and excited about this stuff. It's just interesting. Like, I get it. If you're playing the sport, you're playing, and you are all engaged in this, and you're all excited about it, okay? Because, like, my team. But this is not your life. It's someone else's life. You're just the guy paying your salary through paying ticket, right? In other words, like you're not doing anything. You're a spectator. So what is it? So we'll say, it's very simple. Everything in life now makes it, like general, Pijesta makes everything in life make sense. So we'll say, so why are people so drawn to these things? It's exciting. It is. You see it at the game. Someone hits the home run. Someone scores the basket. Someone shoots the goal. It's exciting. That moment, everybody rises to their feet. It's incredible. You see someone who has ridiculous talent, like, wow, it's exciting. It feeds the need for excitement. I will say, now again, here's a perfect example of, that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to get that excitement through sports. Just like it's not a bad thing to get that excitement. Some people get excitement through money, right? And they are fully consumed by their careers and being successful in their careers. And they speak about a deal, in a more loving fashion than they speak about their wife, right? They mamish, like they just they love it. I would say, again, it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's bad for your marriage, but I'm saying it's not. But what's the pshat? Because everybody wants passion and excitement, and the Piagetsna says if you don't get it from kiddusha, you're going to get it elsewhere. Now again, the elsewhere doesn't have to be sinful, but the elsewhere is going to be elsewhere, and sometimes the elsewhere can become sinful as well. Yeah. All right, we're not finished yet. The simple answer is, get excitement from Yiddishkeit. That's the simple answer. Chevra, I just want to tell you something. You know, everybody's looking for a hack for everything, right? So how do I get inspired? How do you get inspired? Work on it. When you open up a Gemara, say, you know what? Hinani mukhana muzuman, to get excited about this daf. This daf is the best daf in the entire world. There is nothing better I could be doing in this entire world than learning the stuff of Gemara right now. Shachris, oh my God. This Shachris is incredible. No, it's not, right? Chazen can't read Hebrew, right? It's going on already. It's like 52 minutes in on a Tuesday, right? This is terrible. This is absolutely terrible, right? Okay, again, we'll say sometimes life is about deciding how you want to feel. And once you tell yourself how you want to feel, then ultimately, again, you back into that. You make yourself excited. You decide, I am excited about this. We always look for things to make us feel a certain way, instead of recognizing that sometimes you have to choose. You know, sometimes you see, like, people say, you can't control how you feel. That is a load of garbage. You absolutely control how you feel. Now, sometimes you can't control how you initially feel about something, right? Because sometimes it's like something happens and just like instinctively or reactionarily, you just feel a certain way. But then you decide how you feel. You decide. Just like I will say, you're having a bad day, you decide. You want to be grumpy, you want to be happy. That is your choice. You want to be passionate about your Yiddishkeit, I will say. That is a choice. And once you make that choice and you decide, I'm getting passionate about my daf yomi. I'm getting passionate about my tefillah b'tzivor. I'm getting passionate about tefillin. I'm getting passionate about improving my marriage. Whatever you fill in the blank. Once you make that decision, then by definition, doors open and the feelings begin to come. It's not, how do I get passionate about my Yiddishkeit? It's making a decision to become passionate. We'll say, see, what we don't recognize is, more often than not, we've kind of just resigned ourselves or just allowed ourselves to be content with passionless lives. Just like, okay, this is what I do. This is how I do it. This is what my Yiddishkeit looks like. So just understand the Piaget says, you're okay, you can still go to Olam Haba with that, but just understand, the Neshama is going to push you for passion somewhere. So if it's not going to be in Yiddishkeit, maybe it's going to be the Orioles, maybe it's going to be the Ravens, maybe it's going to be an Avera, maybe it's going to be something else, but the Neshama needs it. The Neshama needs it, so the Neshama is going to get it one way or another. I make the decision to make sure that that excitement and passion comes. B'kdusha b'tara. He goes on, he says, Af shalaveh l'hashem chuka, oh, shesof kol sof, techla achar mimachlos hanefesh, michosa achas mitzachosa. Now, it's actually interesting over here. He says, it's possible that a person denies themselves passion in life. It's possible to live a passionless life, where a person's not passionate about anything. Piagetna says, if that happens, just understand, I will say that's like chas v'shalom, if a person has heart disease and one of the chambers of the heart is not working. So you could still be alive. I think you could still be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could still be alive, right? You could still be alive, right? But you're
alive with
I'm sorry, with everywhere, right? But you're right. But you're not living the life that you could live. So in other words, passionless life is a possibility. But just understand, then I'm ill. Then I'm ill. Then there's something fundamentally missing from the person I need to become. It was incredible. Okay, that's test. So I will say, tremendous, right? Tremendous and eye-opening. I will say, the beauty of the Piagetna is our Rebbe helps us make sense of life. Now I get it. Because I will say, I don't know about you, but many, many times in life, I have committed averus. And then after I do it, I'm like, why did I do that? Like, why did I, like, I don't understand it. And I can't say I succumb to desire. It doesn't make sense. I'm not like an animal that can't control myself. It's like, why did I do that? I will say, I'll tell you something interesting, at least that I find. I find that on days when I am good in my Yiddishkeit and excited about my Yiddishkeit, the desire for sin is much less. If I look back historically on my life, those days that I've made mistakes, there's a direct correlation between passionless Yiddishkeit and the need to find excitement somewhere else. And it never made sense to me until the Piagetna says it. Until the Piagetna says it. So again, Shema's going to get its passion one way or another. If I do my job and keep that excitement coming through Yiddishkeit, and I will say, and again, I want to be clear, you can also get your excitement through multiple ways. In other words, if the Orioles or the Ravens feed your excitement, that's okay, I guess, right? As long as it's not the only avenue. As long as it's not the only avenue. I would say that's all. You know, just
it also shows that you have the potential for passion.
And right.
That could be changed.
Correct. You know what I'm saying? I always say the most incredible thing. I'll tell you another thing I find interesting, which is you see people like with sports teams and like they'll wear a jersey with someone's name on it. Why are you wearing an article of clothing with someone else's name on it?
Unless you're Edelman.
Right?
Unless Edelman.
Is there another Edelman? Who's a football player? Okay, got it. Okay, good. I would say, I always wondered about this. Like, you see someone walk around and like they're wearing someone else's identity. Why are you wearing someone else's identity? I would say, what's the shot? You want to be that guy? You want to be that guy? Is that, I don't think anybody really wants to be that guy. I don't think it's what it is. So I would say, so again, I think on a certain level, it's almost like because that guy's exciting. Right, whoever that guy is, like, he's exciting. He's a star, right? He's made it. He's accomplished. But the truth is, if you feel that way about yourself, you don't have to wear someone else's name on the back of your shirt. You could wear your own jersey, right? You could wear your own name because that's enough. I don't need anything else in my life to give me that excitement. I will say, I'm telling you, like a lot, you'll think about it. A lot of this stuff is really weird, right? Like a lot of this stuff, it's weird. It's just strange. It's just strange. Like, imagine wearing someone, right? So, whatever. Okay, you get the point. Let's go back there. But it's helpful to understand now where it comes from, right? So sometimes, subconsciously, I'm wearing someone else's name because at the end of the day, they're a heck of a lot more exciting than I am. Well, why? 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 I could be just as exciting in my way, doing my thing. I don't need to put someone else's identity on my body. My identity is more than enough to generate the requisite excitement for the neshama. Paragraph Yod. Let's go a little bit weiter. Yes.
He says machalat nefesh. Does that mean mental illness specifically or illness in general?
So he says, if you don't feed the need for the neshama's excitement, this machalas hanefesh. I don't know what it means. I don't know how it manifests itself, right? And maybe it could manifest itself in a variety of different ways. I could see that a person who never has any excitement could become depressed in life. Not love daft like in a clinical way, but just, so I don't know. Machalas hanefesh just means, just understand, like same thing with one of the chambers of the heart is not working. You could be walking and talking like everyone else, right? So you'll present just fine, but internally, there's something really wrong. You don't feed the excitement of the neshama, something is off. Paragraph Yod. Well, so let's go. Kama, this feeds in directly into this next piece, and this is just incredible. Kama misonin ha'adam al atzmo leimar. Well, so watch this. So now, after learning all this, a person will say to himself, you know what, Nebuch, ayei b'chirasi ha'chofshis. You know what? This all sounds so great. Where's Reb Tzvi? Is Reb Tzvi here? Reb Tzvi, shkoyach on the delicious, delicious spread tonight. Thank you incredibly much. Right? So a person says, by the way, see, we should start to do a challenge for Toamel. Okay, good, thank you. I like to float ideas.
I want to be like Mike.
For challenge, maybe. So listen to this. So now Pia Justin says, a person says, you know what? All of this sounds so great. But here's my problem. I don't have free will. He says, Va'ani ke'asur ba'avosos hachishek v'chemdas ha'olam ad shekim'at i'efshar li limshol al atzmi livchor ma'lirtzos. He'll say, this is wild. Pia Justin says, sometimes a person says to themselves, you know what? All this sounds so great, but I'm stuck. I'm just stuck. I am too shakua, right? I'm too immersed. I'm too tethered to the impurities, to the unholiness, to the averas, to the schmutz, to all the different stuff in life. I'm too embedded in it. And I can't get out. To the point that I will say, sometimes a person says that, and they're saying it like, I don't mean it as an excuse. I mean it as an actual portrayal of how I feel my circumstances are. Right? I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I'm just stuck. To the point that, like, I don't feel, I will say, no, I think many of us, I don't know, man. I know sometimes you feel, you ever have like a situation where you keep committing the same avera over and over and over and over. And Rosh Hashanah, every year, Yom Kippur, I'm doing tshuva for the same avera. You ever have a thought that runs through your mind that says, you know what? I'm tired. I can't fight this anymore. I yield. I yield. I think many of us have experiences like that. Whatever, you just insert your avera here. We're like, I've been struggling with this for years. 4 years. And I've tried this, I've tried that. I've had longer stretches. I've had shorter stretches. I tried strategies. I spoke to a Rebbe. I got a bracha. I said nishmas. I read Bendelow. You know, whatever I have to do. I've done anything and everything and nothing's working. And so there is that moment where you say to yourself, you know what? Maybe it's time just to stop trying to change it. And just like to lean into it.
But it's not unimportant that the next word he uses is kimat.
Right, correct. And that's, let's see, he said, actually kimat yashidim shalatsmi. In other words, he's expressing a sense that at the end of the day, I feel like I almost don't even have a choice. in this area. Like, this is who I am. And maybe, like, and the good news is, I have a lot of the good stuff. I have a lot of the good stuff. But the truth is, I'm tired of fighting this battle. I'm tired of fighting this particular battle. And I'm just kind of ready just to give into it. And just to accept this imperfection in my life. He says, Uma limos avaldona shalachol b'chira hamaschelas rak b'harotze v'lo b'zulaso. Piagetza says something so beautiful. The Rebbe says, just know. There are many things in life that you may not have. But the one thing you always have is choice. The one thing you always have in this world is choice. And that is something that no one could ever take away from you. Now again, Piaget says, are there times in life where I feel like I have no choice? Are there times in life when I feel like so backed into a corner by repeated sinful behavior that I'm like, I almost supposed to know, I'm sure, I don't have experienced this, where like, you're doing something over and over and over and over again to the point like, I don't know, maybe this is just like my teva. Maybe this is just who I am. And no different from the fact that like, I can't grow. I would love to have a full head of hair, but like, it's not going to work. Not in the cards. Maybe next Gilgal, right? Right, you know, but like not in the cards. So there are certain like realities that I just have to contend with. So maybe this Avera is just one of my realities. And I should just like, accept it. No one's perfect. This is my imperfection. That's it. So Piagetza says, look at this. Avaldana, no. Shelechol b'chira hamascheles rak b'harotze velo b'zulaso. Every, I guess in English, we have to translate it like this. Every choice only originates with the chooser. It doesn't flow as nicely, right? But every choice only originates with the chooser, which means I will say that at the end of the day, there is no such thing as a choice in life that you don't have. You don't. Now again, it doesn't mean that everything materializes the way that you want it, but never think for a moment that you are without choices. I will say again, to be clear, are there circumstances in my life that are foisted upon me that I have not chosen, that I can't change? Of course. But Lamais, in terms of what I want to do and who I want to be, and the Averas that I do and the Mitzvahs that I do, those are choices that rest with me and Mieler. I will say, you know what? We'll stop over here for tonight. Again, I'm leaving you off a little bit on a heavier piece over here. Right? To take a little bit of time, like to roll this section test around a little bit. We have, what's next week? Shir. Sure. Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. Hashem. Good. We have Erev Lag Bomer. What?
Marv.
Yeah. All right. We'll say, well, David, Marv will be in the main shul of Meretz Hashem.
There's a line from, I'm sure the Rav is familiar with the band Rush. There's a line from the song. If you decide not to make a choice.